Tomorrow is the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. To reflect on Dr. King's legacy in 2022, we turn to Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. He's the founding director of the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University, and BU is where King earned his PhD in theology. We started our conversation by asking Dr. Kendi to give us a snapshot of race relations in the United States today.
For me, that image would be sort of replaying that time in the early 1960s when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. spoke out against the filibuster, which he found was blocking civil and voting rights legislation. And it would sort of remind us that in many ways we are in 2022, but in many ways we're still in 1962.
In a video for your appearance a couple of years ago at Wake Forest University, you said, "We talk a lot about racial progress, but we also must talk about King's nightmare, which is the progression of racism." Can you discuss that notion?
Sure. So in many ways, we have been taught that America's racial history is this sort of singular force, this sort of march forward. And at times we're taking steps back. But what I find in my research is actually two historical forces that not only have we in many ways overcome chattel slavery, overcome forms of Jim Crow, but racist policies themselves have become more sophisticated over time. While a century ago, the way they were suppressing votes was poll taxes and literacy tests, now the ways they're suppressing sort of votes are, in some states, voter ID laws or not allowing people to pass out water on extremely long lines. The tactics that are being used are more sophisticated, and now the justification is more sophisticated because it's voter fraud, electoral security, which, of course, is much more enticing to people because any American thinks it's great or important for our elections to be fair and not fraud. But in reality, it's just a propaganda to substantiate voter suppression.
After the spring and summer of 2020 and the widespread, powerful protests for racial justice, some hope really emerged regarding a significant shift toward more of a full societal embrace of anti-racism. But the backlash has been intense. And what do you view as driving this pattern in our society now?
By June of 2020, I think one poll found that 76% of Americans were recognizing that racism exists and is a big problem. And that was the highest percentage ever recorded. But by the end of the summer of 2020, that percentage had fallen by double digits. And what happened was an incredible propaganda sort of assault that basically stated that the problem was not indeed racism. The problem were those violent Black Lives Matter protesters who are looting and violently sort of destroying cities. And because the media tends to report on violent demonstrations, as opposed to the upwards of 96% of demonstrations that spring and summer that was peaceful, it gave on the appearance that there was more violence than there really was. And that's the fundamental clash. Like, what is the problem? Is the problem racism itself, or is the problem those people who are demonstrating against it? And since then, there's just been an incredible amount of propaganda to convince the American people that the problem are those people who are demonstrating against racism as opposed to racism itself. A lot of those ideas were manufactured by those whose power and whose policies relied on an unjust, unequal nation.
So that's a problem. What is the solution?
You know, study after study shows that inequities and injustices in our society stem not from the inferiorities of particular racial groups, but conditions and policies and structures and practices. So when you recognize that, then when propagandists try to convince us that the problem are those people, you know that that's wrong. And you then can gravitate towards those in positions of power who are trying to change those conditions.
If you could try to reach everyone with one key thought as people contemplate the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King in 2022, what would that be?
King, in his letter from the Birmingham jail in 1963, wrote that he suspects that the Negro's greatest stumbling block towards freedom is not the Ku Klux Klaner, but potentially the white moderate. the person who says, I understand your pain, but I disagree with the only solution that could actually bring about the end to it. King was incredibly focused, particularly by the end of his life, in supporting the most practical and radical solutions that can bring the end to human pain and misery and militarism, you know, and injustice and poverty and racism. And I think that's what made him great, not necessarily a march or speech that he gave, but his vision for creating a different type of world.
We're fighting for our freedom.
Dr. Ibram X. Kendi is the founding director of the Center for Anti-Racist Research at Boston University.